Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me today to get you ready for UFC 249 is Brian Edwards, VegasInsider.com senior handicapper. You can follow him on Twitter at VegasBEdwards. Brian, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me, Rob. I appreciate it. Fired up, man. This card is outstanding and arguably one of the best top to bottom in UFC history. And I know we're all jonesing for sports, so I'm excited.
I am so jonesing for sports. And I got to give a shout out to Dana White, because as a sports fan, I feel like Dana has wanted to put on a fight. He's tried to put on fights. It got shut down before this, but now they're doing this in Florida and they're finding a way to do this for the fans, because at the end of the day, that's what the UFC is about, because we've got plenty of highly tuned athletes. But guess what? We like knockouts. We like finishes. We like submissions. We like entertainment. And Dana White in the UFC says, you know what? We are going to deliver that for you. So I want to say thank you to them, because I'm so excited about having sports back, but specifically UFC.
No doubt about it. And it was wild that Dana, I mean, he had found a way to make this happen on April 18th, but the governor of California, you know, made that call to Disney and, you know, asked ESPN asked Dana to stand down, and they did. But here we are, I guess 3 weeks later, and we're ready to roll. No fans, but the card's going to be terrific in Jacksonville, and I'm fired up about it.
And I'm curious, the no fans in the stands thing isn't a big thing for me. Let's just call it in general. When we're projecting about when each of the different leagues are going to be coming back, they're like, oh, but there's going to be no fans in the stands. You know how many times I've cared about the fans in the stands? Zero. Right. Because we now live in a second screen world. And in my case, oftentimes multiple screens, because I've got my phone open, I've got TweetDeck on my computer, and I'm watching the fights or whatever game that I've got on. And what happens when the action's done and a commercial comes on? You think I'm sitting there being like, oh, thank goodness for the fans being there. No, I get that there's an ambiance side of things. But for me, it's a very easy thing to solve. You can pump in crowd noise, and or, God forbid, you want to put virtual fans in there. But the fan side of things does not matter to me one bit.
Yeah, and, you know, they actually, I believe it was March 12th when the Thursday when the conference tournaments and men's basketball got scrapped, they actually did their card March 14th down in Brazil without fans. So we had one set of fights that went on without fans. It was definitely a little odd that it was quiet in there. And when somebody lands something big, you didn't hear the big crowd reaction, but whatever, no big deal to me either, man. We can bet and we can cash tickets, and it's the same for both fighters. So it's no big shakes in my world.
So let's break down the card, and I'm really excited about this. Up first, we got Tony Ferguson taking on Justin Gaethje. Ferguson minus 177, Gaethje plus 150, and the numbers that I'm going to be given are all coming from DraftKings. And this is for the interim title. Ferguson was supposed to be fighting Khabib, something that they've been trying to do over and over and over again. Just hasn't happened. So here's a quick breakdown on these fighters. Ferguson, 12-fight win streak, longest in UFC lightweight history. Last beat Cowboy Cerrone on June 8th. He's the top contender in the division, hasn't lost in 8 years, and he's earned a stoppage in 9 of the last 12 fights. He's extremely entertaining. And over on the Gaethje side of things, his nickname, the Highlight. He's got 4 Fight of the Night awards, 3 straight wins. Also, his last one coming against Cowboy. I think we're seeing a theme here. And, oh, by the way, I believe Cowboy is actually on the undercard of all of this, to keep bringing his name up. And what are your thoughts on this fight?
Well, Ferguson, obviously, as you mentioned, is just on an incredible roll. And he's overcome injuries during this role as well. You know, this is the 5th time him and Khabib have been booked, and it's had to, be scrapped for a variety of reasons. Now, you know, Gaethje was going to, he was taking this fight to do it April 18th on short notice. I think that getting pushed back 3 weeks is a big advantage to him, having had more time to train. And Ferguson, you know, they call him El Cucuy, which means the boogeyman, and he's a different beast, man. He does a lot of unorthodox training. He had not sparred in years, but he did spar in this camp. Well, pre-pandemic, he was sparring. I'm not sure how much sparring he's done since the pandemic started. But he did something really odd. I think it was the ninth. It was 9 days out when they pushed it back. And just because he's the boogeyman and he does things different, he marches to his own drum. And he weighed in. He cut the weight. And on the Friday, would have been April 17th, he was 155 pounds. So he is doing this weight drop twice in 3 weeks, which is really unusual. We'll see if it impacts him at all. Look, betting against Ferguson is not going to make you rich in the long run. But I think that Gaethje is the way to go on this one. We'll get a little value. I'm not going to be risking a lot on Gaethje. It'll be one of my smaller plays. But especially when what price did you use, Rob? Plus 155.
So yeah, Ferguson minus 177, Gaethje plus 150.
Yeah, okay. As long as you're getting plus 150, I think Gaethje is worth a shot. Three first round knockouts in a row, and seven fight night bonuses in his six fight UFC tenure. He's 21-2 overall, 4-2 in the UFC, and both of his losses, there was no shame in either of them. To Dustin Poirier and Eddie Alvarez in fights that could have easily gone the other way. They were big-time firefights. And this, I really think that this is actually going to be a more exciting fight than Khabib and Tony. And I can't wait. This has definitely fight of the year potential written all over it.
So let me look at it a different way for us to chop this up. So win by knockout, submission, or DQ. For Ferguson, that number drops down to minus 106, which is a lot more appealing if you like the Ferguson side of things. Looking on the Gaethje side, we get that up to plus 175 to win by knockout, submission, or DQ. What are your thoughts on this sort of bet in general?
Well, you know, So if you really like Ferguson, I think you go that route to shave off, you know, because he's, you know, in the minus not 190 range. That's really expensive in my mind. If you're that confident that he's going to win, you probably think he's going to win by finish. And in five round fights, he almost always has won by finish. And so I think you're best off. Now, you don't never know with Ferguson whether he'll get a KO or a submission because he's great at both. So that I think you look, if you're doing a prop, I think you go to win inside the distance on Ferguson, and I'm looking for that now. Okay, here it is. Well, yeah, minus 105 at some spots, but that's a lot better than minus 190. So if you like Ferguson, I think you should go to win inside the distance. Now, with Gaethje, I don't think so. You're already going to be getting about plus 150. Do you risk going to, you know, plus 170 or whatever number you use? I don't know. I mean, he's definitely way more likely to win by knockout, but I just think you're already getting paid plus money on Gaethje. I just think you go with Gaethje.
So we'll break it down this way then. So for the favorites, choosing how they might win may be the simpler way for us to get better value. But when looking at the dogs, there's no reason for us to make this a little bit harder on ourselves because the money line is already entertaining as it is.
Yeah, you're already getting plus money on the underdog, but you're cutting out your big risk when you do a method of victory with a favorite, and that's the way I like to do it, absolutely.
Hold up.
From our friends at Covers Experts, here's an exclusive offer for the Sharp 600 listeners only. Get 25% off any Covers Experts product when you use promo code SHARP25. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Save a little money and follow the pros all the way to the bank. Again, that's Sharp 25 for 25% off any product. Woo! All right, let's move on to the next fight. We got Henry Cejudo, minus 220, taking on Dominic Cruz, plus 183. And for me, this all comes down to one thing, and it's ring rust for Dominic Cruz. So he is fighting for the first time since losing the bantamweight title at UFC 206, which was back in December 2016. He has only fought four times in the last 9 years, and he's a fighter who has had a history of long layoffs. Over on the Cejudo side, bantamweight champion was supposed to fight Jose Aldo. He is an Olympic gold medal wrestler, five fight win streak, including knocking out TJ Dillashaw in 32 seconds to defend his title. So we know the name recognition of what Cruz used to be, but the formula for sort of how he's getting into the ring with this big of a layoff, I am not a fan of that at all.
Right, and understandably so, because it's not a normally a formula for victory by any means. But if there's anybody that you know you think is up to the task, it's Cruz, and that's because he's done it multiple times. When he beat Demetrius Johnson on October 1st, 2011, he didn't fight again. He had two ACLs and a torn groin, and he didn't fight again until September 27th of 14. But he needed only 51 seconds to get by Takiya Mizugaki. And then he had a shoulder injury, and he was out from September 27th of 14 all the way to January 17th of 16, and he faced Dillashaw for the title, and he won again. So he has had some long layoffs. He is 22-2 overall for his career. He's only 5-1 in the UFC, as you noted, Rob, as he hasn't fought much, but look, he had won 13 in a row to losing to Cody Garbrandt. And look, you know, Cejudo has spent much of his career at 125. It was his debut when he beat Marias at 135 to win this belt. And, you know, if we would have said 2 years ago, Cejudo and Cruz will eventually fight and Cejudo will be favored, everyone will be shocked. Because now not only is he favored, he's a huge favorite. So I think that Dominic Cruz is the way to go here, especially if you're getting like plus 200. I just think his movement, he's really unorthodox and unique in the way he moves, and he's just never there for you to punch him, and he's got good takedown defense, and Cejudo's going to look to wrestle. So it's an interesting matchup, but I'm going to go with Dominic Cruz as the big plus underdog.
All right, so let's look at some of the other ways that we can chop this up. So Cejudo, plus 180 to win by knockout, submission, or DQ, plus 140 to win by decision. On the Cruz side of things, plus 650 to win by knockout, submission, or DQ, plus 275 to win by decision. Do any of those stand out to you?
Well, Cruz has got 13 of his career wins by decision, 8 by knockout, and only 1 submission. Cejudo, the over-under is 4.5 rounds, and the over is minus 200. So that shows you the odds makers think it's going to go to a decision. As I just mentioned, Cruz, 13 of his 22 careers wins by decision. And if Cejudo turns it into a wrestling match, you know, there's a good chance we'll go very late in the fight as he's just trying to, you know, wrestle and, you know, just work the fight down on the ground. And that way there's a big chance for it to go to the decision. So I'm not going to look to get greedy and get some extra plus money by trying to a method of victory decision or submission or a knockout. And Cejudo, he did have the knockout against Marias and Dillashaw recently, but that normally hasn't been his game throughout much of his career. Now, I do think, you know, like we were talking about with the favorites and these method of victory, if you are going to take Cejudo, either do it in a parlay or look to shave the price off by either betting him to win by decision or if you think he can get a KO or submission. But I'm going to go with Cruz.
So for me, I'm actually going to go Cejudo plus 140 to win by decision. So when I look at sort of what you said in the formula that we're going to put together, he's a wrestler. And if we're going to be dealing with ring rust, how would you want to try and best defeat someone like this? Keep him on his back, control the fight, take ownership of it. Then you mentioned, hey, the over-under for the plus is 4.5. with the over at minus 200. So just sort of putting all these together, I don't like laying the minus 220. But based on the way that I see the narrative of how this fight could go, I'm cool getting plus money at plus 140 on the decision for Cejudo. So that is what I'm going with.
I like that, Rob. Yeah, that would be the only method I would do with Cejudo getting plus money to win by decision. I just couldn't trust him enough to get a KO or submission.
All right, moving on to the next fight. We've got Francis Ngannou, minus 278, taking on Jorenzo Rozenstruik, plus 225. And looking at Ngannou, he has some just gigantic wins. Cain Velasquez and Junior Dos Santos in super quick fashion. I mean, boom. These are top fighters that he finished. Last seven wins ended in the first round, six of them by KO. Over on the Rozenstruik side of things, he's 10-0, four stoppage wins in the last 11 months, nine victories via KO, seven in the opening round. And what does this tell me? Someone is likely to get knocked out and quickly. What are your thoughts on this?
I agree with what you just said. And I think under 1.5 rounds, I'm surprised it's not more expensive to the under. I love it under 1.5 rounds. I mean, you just ripped off all those stats. And, you know, you said how Ngannou got rid of Velasquez and Junior Dos Santos. Both of those guys are former champions. And he did it very quick. It was 26 seconds on Cain Velasquez and 61 seconds on Dos Santos. And Rozenstruik has had some early finishes as well. Like you said, seven in round one. He has the second fastest finish in UFC history, or in UFC heavyweight history, at 9 seconds. He needed only 29 seconds to beat Arlovski, another former heavyweight champ. I am all about under 1.5 rounds. Is probably my favorite pick of the entire card on Rozenstruik and Ngannou.
And what's the money on that?
So under 1.5 is either like minus 105 or minus 110, just depends on what book. But it, even if it went up to minus 130, I would be good with it.
I think that's So let's look at this another way. So Ngannou minus 278, not interested in that, but minus 143 to win by knockout, submission, or DQ. Over on the Rozenstruik side, plus 333 on the same end. So do you see this once again as, if you like Ngannou, here's your opportunity to get it at like half the price? On the flip side, Rozenstruik, is it really worth it to do the knockout? Well, we know both of these guys have knockout power. Is this something that is entertaining, and or can you see a situation where you would bet both of those, minus 143 and plus 333, knowing that this is a one-punch fight?
So wait, were you saying to bet Ngannou on the regular underdog rate and get greedy and try to get plus 33 to win by KO?
100%. So we're looking at this here and you're like, all right, someone's going to get knocked out here. And sure, if Ngannou ends up being the one, you're going to lose some coin. But really, what you're doing is you're hedging to say the upside on Rozenstruik at plus 333, knowing the knockout power of both of these fighters. Is that something that you could consider almost as a hedge with the upside opportunity?
Yeah, and you know, I would just do it with Rozenstruik, the straight, you know, plus 240-ish or whatever it is. I would do it for more than if you, I mean, I'm okay with maybe going a half or a quarter unit, you know, to, yeah, get greedy. Go for the plus 333 in the knockout. Because, I mean, I think that both, either guy is going to win by knockout. I'm pretty confident in that. And don't dare lay the big price on Ngannou because, well, I guess he could win by decision, but I doubt it. And I think that you would just go Ngannou to win by inside the distance or by KO, which you can get him by KO minus 120 to minus 130 or so. And that's much better than risking a minus 300 in my mind. Obviously, he wins by decision, you'll regret that. But I don't think we're going to the judges with this one, Rob.
I mean, not based on everything that we've previously seen out of these two fighters. And this is actually a great example of why this card is so exciting. Just think about the first three fights that we've talked about there in terms of title fights and then the knockout ability of these fighters. This is why you should be interested in watching this and betting it.
Yeah, and you know, it's not very common to get three heavyweight fights on a card. So we've got three heavyweight bouts on this card, and they could all end early. And yeah, let's go on to the next one. We still got some good ones to get to.
So we got this last one here. We got Greg Hardy -200 taking on Jorgen De Castro +165. And why are we including this? Because people are familiar with Greg Hardy's name from the time in the NFL. But here's the thing. Because of Greg Hardy's name recognition, it gives me a little hesitation because is there some inflation there from the public side of things? Greg Hardy, just 2-2 with one no decision in his first five fights. Over on the De Castro side of things, he's 6-0 in his career. And for me, with Hardy being a 2-1 favorite, I don't exactly see that Greg Hardy's the most reliable fighter in there. And with De Castro, a little bit more of an unknown, though you have to like that it was 6-0. I'm curious to what you think about this, because I see this as a coin flip fight.
Well, I've seen, I didn't see all of Hardy's fights on the Contender Series, but since he's been, you know, on like main cards, I've seen all of his fights. I have admittedly not seen De Castro fight. But you know, you ripped off those numbers, 6-0 overall, 2-0 in the UFC, 5 career wins by KO. I think you look at De Castro or you just pass on the side. Hardy got his big, faced a top 10 guy for the first time, his last time out against Alexander Volkov. And he got outclassed, but you know, I thought he acquitted himself okay. You know, they had been throwing him a bunch of cupcake opponents, before that. And, you know, he went the distance with a top 10 guy, and he lost the decision. But, you know, he didn't, like, take a beating or anything. And he's had a nice long break here compared. They've usually been throwing him, you know, every 2-3 months they've been throwing him in there. So, anyway, 31 years old Hardy, 6'5". He's got a 4-inch height advantage, and he's got a little more experience in the UFC. But I think it's De Castro or pass. I don't really have a strong opinion here. Hardy's first 6 fights went under 1.5 rounds, but his last 2 have gone over. 1.5 rounds normally in a heavyweight bout, I would be looking under, especially at +130. But I had the under on Hardy's last 2 and I got burned. So I'm not in a hurry to go back to it.
On my end, I'm going with De Castro +165 because it's plus money. I don't see a really huge edge one way or another. So to recap the action that I'm going to be on Henry Cejudo +140 to win by decision. And I'm also on Jorgen De Castro +165 to win. Brian, what picks do you like?
All right, I'm going to also go, recapping, small change on Justin Gaethje. My favorite bet is the under 1.5 rounds on Ngannou and Rozenstrike. A solid bet, you know, just your average bet units-wise on Dominic Cruz. And really, I think I'm going to pass on Hardy De Castro. And then do we have time for me to throw a couple more out?
Go for it.
All right. I'm going to go with Bryce Mitchell, the pride of Arkansas. Now he's sort of expensive, -155, -160. So I'm talking a small play here. And maybe if you're doing a parlay with any favorites on the card, I would be okay with Bryce Mitchell in any parlay. Maybe put him in one with Fabricio Werdum, one of the bigger favorites in another heavyweight clash. Let's see. And then there was, as I scroll down, well, come back to me on that, Rob, if we're not shutting it down right now.
Well, actually, we are shutting it down right now. No big deal.
I got one more.
Go for it.
I got one more. I like Jeremy Stevens as a +200 underdog against Calvin Kattar. And I think that does it for me. So there's another underdog in Jeremy Stephens.
Brian, love jamming about the UFC with you. Where can everybody connect with you?
Okay, so you can find me on Twitter at Vegas B Edwards. You can also find my picks on VegasInsider.com. And I'm also at MajorWager.com. Lots of UFC content there. And Rob, as always, man, thanks for having me on. Enjoyed it. And can't wait for these fights Saturday.
And you are welcome. And I am also very much looking forward to these fights. And I want to hear from you. What is on your UFC card? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy and make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And if you've dug anything that we've given you on this podcast, whether it's this one, the NFL ones, or anything that we do, the thing that would help us out the most is if you dig it, give us a rating and review on iTunes and just let others know candidly, hey, what do you think of this show? Because it really helps with discovery. And you know what? Remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. I was born with it. The Funkadelic Devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your black trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.